Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Bill Lipton, the state director and founder of the Working Families Party, the WFP, a community labor coalition party active in New York, Connecticut, Delaware, and South Carolina. The WFP works to pass state legislation to raise the minimum wage, reform right-wing drug laws, and make the state tax code more progressive. Welcome, Bill Lipton. Great to have you back.
Great to be here.
Okay, big news. Let's talk about it all. Let's talk about the trial of Joe Prococo, which is a federal grand jury found Governor Andrew Cuomo's former top aide, Joe Prococo, guilty on three counts of bribery and conspiracy to commit honest service fraud in a Manhattan courtroom on Tuesday. While Governor Cuomo hasn't been accused of any wrongdoing, it was his closest aide. Does this bother you? Will it affect your endorsement in the governor's race this year? You endorsed him last time.
It certainly bothers me. I think it bothers all New Yorkers, and it's, you know, part of a string of convictions that have really made people think of Albany, I think correctly, as a place that badly needs change, badly needs reform. I just want to remind your listeners that in 2014, when we endorsed the governor, it was part of a very substantial negotiation. He agreed publicly in front of 800 people at our convention and the entire press corps to bring back the so-called independent Democrats, these renegade Democrats, and then help us pick up seats in the state Senate to form a progressive majority and then pass campaign finance reform, real campaign finance reform, the campaign finance reform that was recommended by the Moreland Commission as its number one priority. And while, you know, no one thing is a cure-all for corruption, that, you know, the Moreland Commission, which was certainly had a lot of notable, respected leaders on it, thought that was the biggest thing we could do to change the pay-to-play culture in Albany. So that is still very much on our members' minds, and we want to see that change happen now more than ever.
Well, it's interesting because the rap on the Working Families Party is that a big part of the money that comes to it is paid for by the labor unions, and we know the labor unions are close to Cuomo. Does that mean you have to endorse Cuomo another time?
Well, you know, look, we're a coalition party. As you mentioned right at the beginning, we have unions, progressive unions, which we're very proud to be affiliated with. We also have a range of citizens organizations and community groups. And then we've got these individual activists from across the state. And that is a coalition that really, there's three legs to that stool, Alan. So labor is very important to us, but ultimately our party is about being progressive. It's about challenging what we see as a rigged system where the wealthy and well-connected folks have too much control over our democracy and our economy, and we want to unite working families, Black, Latino, White, Asian, across New York State, upstate, downstate, women and men, regardless of sexual orientation, so on and so forth, into a progressive force that's going to reshape our democracy and put working families first. So, you know, we are so proud to have labor affiliation, but ultimately our mission is not to just be for labor. It's to be for working families everywhere, and that's very important for people to understand. So, labor has an important voice in this process, but there are other stakeholders, and we plan to have a process, as we did in 2014, that respects all our stakeholders and all parties. And, you know, regardless of how you feel about where we came down, I think everyone acknowledged that that's what a real small-D Democratic convention looks like, what we did in 2014. And, you know, our state committee is poised to, I think, have another robust debate and come up with, I think, an important decision again.
Well, Bill Lipton, one of the things that happened the last time, if my memory serves, which it does decreasingly, is that Mayor de Blasio, seen as a progressive of the kind you're talking about now, stepped in to save Andrew Cuomo's keister, before that convention, which was kind of ironic. Everybody thought, well, then the governor would owe him something. It hasn't turned out to be that way. Would you expect that the mayor would have the same kind of support for Cuomo this time that he had the last time?
You know, that's the mayor's decision. I don't really want to speak to that. I think what our focus is we're going to evaluate this decision based on what we think is best for working families in New York State. On the one hand, I think people, want to recognize the fact that cherished objectives like the ones you mentioned, the minimum wage, paid family leave, many other things, the ban on fracking, these are things that the governor has accomplished that are very important to working families in New York State. On the flip side, you know, many of these state committee people were there in 2014, and they wanted to see the governor be the leader, the progressive leader of New York, and elect a progressive majority of the state Senate, not just because we want to see progressives in office, but because tangible things like closing the LLC loophole and having real campaign finance reform, making real progress on climate change in New York, where, you know, we're moving away from investing in more fossil fuel infrastructure and pipelines into a renewable future with good jobs. These things are, how do you make progress on those things when you have a Republican state Senate that is really being propped up by real estate interests, hedge funds, polluters? Big money really dominates the Republican Party nationally and here in New York. So we want to see those kind of changes happen, and that's where we're going to be evaluating. That's the choice that our folks are going to be looking at. You know, in 2014, the deal was he was going to get not just campaign finance reform done, but he was going to pass the DREAM Act. He was going to pass real criminal justice reform. We want to see a governor who's going to fully fund public education and take a hard look successfully change the criminal justice system so that instead of having thousands of people locked up before they even have a trial across New York State, we're investing those dollars in our public school system, not in mass incarceration. So we had that on the list, and he had made a pledge on that. And women's equality, that was part of the deal. He stood up and talked about those things. Those are things that are still very important to us and many other things. So we're going to be weighing what he's accomplished along with what the things he hasn't accomplished and trying to make a decision about what's best for New York's working families.
We're talking to Bill Lipton, the state director and founder of the Working Families Party, a community labor coalition party active in New York. Bill, the Prococo trial, 8 weeks it lasted. Some of the very things you've been talking about, the end of the LLC. Now, we have a governor who stood up and said we should end the LLCs. But when you look at this trial and you look at what's come out of it, it's unbelievable how he's played that game and milked the system using the LLCs. What do you make of that?
I think it's a problem, to state the obvious. There have been a number of instances where the governor has really talked a good game about, you know, codifying Roe versus Wade, about cleaning up Albany and closing the LLC loophole and passing public financing, about bail reform and the right to a speedy trial and criminal justice, about, you know, and other things. And I think year after year he puts it in his, you know, state of the state. He talks about these things, and we haven't seen progress at all. And I think that is a challenge for him going forward.
Let me take issue with you on something you said about not bringing the Democrats into control in the Senate. There are many people, and I'm one of them, who have believed that basically he and his father, who I knew very well, interviewed for all of those years on the Capitol Connection and me and Mario, really did want a Republican Senate to sort of, you know, keep the progressives down a little bit. I've always believed that it's because Andrew Cuomo wants a Republican Senate that he hasn't turned around to the people in that caucus that walked out and said to them, you know, what are you doing? I want you back with the Democrats. If he said it, he would have gotten his way, wouldn't he have?
I don't think there's any question about that. I've been on record about that. I think all the data points over the last 8 years shows that the governor has very comfortable with the Republican majority in the state Senate and has been a part of the IDC, part of these, you know, what we call these Trump Democrats, this group of Trump Democrats conferencing, you know, with the Republicans, that has been something he's been comfortable with and has, you know, aided and abetted. So I think that, you know, that I think your analysis is right about that. And I don't think it's, you know, I don't think that's really in question. He's basically admitted as much publicly many times, and and again, like, that has to be weighed against the things he's done that, you know, are impressive and important accomplishments. The minimum wage, paid family leave, you know, the ban on fracking, obviously the gun control stuff and marriage equality. These are things that have had a tangible impact. And that's, you know, I think this is going to be why it's going to be an important, serious discussion when we get together at the next few state committee meetings.
Now, it does look like the actress Cynthia Nixon may oppose the governor in a primary. And so, obviously, I mean, if you were to support Nixon on your ballot, she would still be there when the general election happened. And I wonder what your thinking is on this.
Look, this is going to be the decision of the 224 people on the WFP, the Working Families Party State Committee. And there's just no way to answer that any other way. These folks are elected according to the New York State election law to make this decision. We are going to have a couple of state committee meetings upcoming, in April, and then a convention in May. And we've been doing phone calls and meetings. We want to have a really informed discussion, and that ultimately this is going to be their decision. So I know there's all kinds of whispering and discussion and debate, but the process is laid out in the state election law, and that's what we're going to pursue.
Now, Bill Lipton, I have immense admiration for you, but I also know that you're the head guy. And sometimes when the head guy, you know, goes one way or the other, it influences the other people who, according to you're right about the democratic process. So what are you telling them about this potential primary? I mean, if I was on the phone with you right now and say, hey, Bill, this is Jerry from wherever, you know, where are we going to go on this? You might tell him something, wouldn't you?
Look, I really pride myself on trying to be consistent with my private statements and my public statements. Nobody's perfect on that, but that is something that I value. And I would say to that person the same thing that I'm saying to you publicly, which is this truly is a decision by the state committee. And the state committee, if you look at it, there's a lot of union members on there who are rooting for Cuomo. There's activists who were there and 2014 and said, wow, that guy really, you know, said one thing and did another. And then there's a whole bunch of folks who are undecided. So I think the real thing here is for folks to watch and stay tuned, because it's going to be a healthy debate. We've deliberately set up the WFP to have different stakeholders with different interests. You know, to have a WFP without labor would be a weaker WFP. On the flip side, to have a WFP with just activists and community groups, that would also diminish, I think, who we are. So we have deliberately set up an organization that has multiple stakeholders and lots of internal debate. And sometimes from the outside, that looks like we compromise too much. And sometimes it looks like a very wise, way to set up an organization. So, you know, that's the answer. There's no way around it, Alan.
Okay. So as we're speaking, it's National School Safety Walkout Day. Where do you guys come down on gun control and school safety?
You know, when the governor passed the SAFE Act, you know, we supported him. And, you know, we have been horrified, like Americans, you know, like so many Americans, obviously not all of them. There are, you know, a vocal, group with the NRA that were strong supporters of unlimited, freedom in terms of gun ownership. But we have been inspired and supportive of these protests led by high school students in all across America, obviously starting in Florida. I know so many people whose kids are participating, and it's just hard not to be deeply moved by their actions and their leadership on this critical issue.
Well, there are school districts which are threatening recrimination for those students who walk out.
I think that's a terrible idea. I mean, look, no one has to agree. This is not about agreement. This is about what this country was about. I mean, it is all about, right? This is about people's right to challenge, to peacefully challenge, the things that they disagree with. I mean, it depends exactly what they're talking about in terms of the repercussions. But anything, ultimately, I think this is a great opportunity for folks to have a history lesson about the many times people have risen up and challenged unjust laws and things that they disagree with in a peaceful way, with this kind of disobedience, with this kind of, you know, public challenging of laws they disagree with in a respectful way. And that's what these young people are doing. And I think it's powerful and inspiring. And, you know, anything that was a serious recommendation on young people for doing that, I think is a big mistake. I think it should be primarily, you know, addressed as a history lesson for folks. Even, you know, not everyone has to agree with it, but I think it's a huge learning opportunity.
Now, Bill Lipton, there is no question that the mayor and the governor seem to be rather fierce enemies. You guys are obviously people who could be arbitrators if you wished. Are you?
You know, that is, to state the obvious, it's become a deeply personal relationship.
Between the two of them,
two
yeah.
Guys,
yeah.
Yeah, these are two guys who... I think aren't really looking for anyone to play an intermediary role. I think they feel strongly that they know how to, you know, pursue a course of action that's best for their own interests. So I don't think either of them are looking for us to play that role. Obviously the state would be better off if we had this, but I think, you know, the mayor feels like the governor has been consistently aggressive to him and has responded by saying, you know, I'm kind of done with this relationship and I'm going to respond in kind.
Is it possible both guys think that they could be president of the United States?
Anything is possible. You know, one thing we know about elected officials is, you know, once you get in there, they start to dream. And quite frankly, I think that's something that all of us, you know, are frustrated with is so many, you know, elected officials immediately start to think about attaining more, you know, their career and moving up the ladder instead of just buckling down and doing the job we elected them to do. And that would be, you know, if people weren't so focused on that, they could make more courageous decisions and really challenge some of the intractable problems that we face and resolve them. So, I'm not a big fan of people constantly looking to move up the ladder.
Well, and if they weren't, obviously, to speak the obvious, you might get a little bit more cooperation. So, for example, let's take the New York City Housing Authority. Lots of scandals going on. The two guys pointing fingers at each other. The mayor goes away for a couple of days. The governor swoops in and says he's taking charge. You know, he's going to figure out what to do about all of this. And people have roofs that are caving in and mold and this and that. Mice. I know that you guys are the progressives. You're the ones who are watching all of this. What do you make of this housing scandal?
Look, we have members, many members who live in NYCHA housing and organizations that represent, you know, people in public housing like Community Voices Heard Power, that's an affiliate, you know, of working families. And, you know, people are just, when you're living with mold in your apartment and you have small children, you don't really care about a personal dispute. You know, you care about your children's health. So I think you're right. This is one where the politics has really gotten in the way. You know, when the governor holds a press conference, primarily to make the mayor look bad on a day he's out of town, that just exemplifies the kind of gamesmanship, I think, that is really not constructive here. The mayor clearly, you know, needed to have moved faster on a number of things. They have had their missteps. They have been, you know, obviously victimized by massive cuts from the federal government, just massive, massive cuts, right? This is a huge enterprise. It's not just, sure, there's been mismanagement. There's no question that they could do a better job, but it's not so easy when you have massive cuts from where you used to be. And the governor, meanwhile, has, you know, sat on hundreds of millions of dollars of aid. So I think there's really plenty of blame to go around on both sides. And this is definitely one where the personal nature of that relationship has gotten in the way of something that it just makes you want to cry when you think about these, you know, people with their kids who need help and the lack of finances, you know, to be able to really address it directly.
The mayor's wife, Charlene McRae, has talked about the possibility of her running for public office, and that might mean when the mayor gets done being mayor because of term limits in New York, that she would run. What do you think about that?
I know Charlene for a long time. She's, you know, really a wonderful person. She, I think her mental health initiative you know, is powerful and important. It's about an issue which is really a major problem across, you know, our country. And for her to speak openly about it and to take action, with the mayor and start, you know, the Thrive program and other things to on this front, I think has been important and deserves recognition. Regarding her political future, I really, you know, haven't thought much about it. I have no idea, you know, what she's thinking, don't have a strong opinion about it. You know, obviously she would run as her own person. She would need to run as her own person. And I think she's got some basis for talking about her accomplishments and who she is. She definitely has a history in government and, in activism and advocacy that is impressive, but I have no idea if she's serious about it, and I have no idea what office she would run for. We would have to consider that in the future as the situation evolves.
We have only a couple of minutes, but I wanted to ask you about DACA. Obviously, you guys are progressive. You folks are progressive. You have a sense of right and wrong. What are you making of this mess?
You know, my grandparents, great grandparents were immigrants to this country, like, you know, many Americans. I think, and New York, as everyone knows, is, you know, home to the Statue of Liberty, and has just our history of welcoming immigrants and watching and seeing immigrants make New York what it is today is it's just so inherent to what New York is. It's just really a horrible contradiction to watch all these young people who this is the only country they've ever known, and they have gone to school here, they have worked here, they have many of them built their families here, and they want to have the same thing that many of our families had. I think it's to play politics with these young people's lives is and use it as a bargaining chip is a terrible idea. I think quite frankly, Obama waited way too long to address the issue, and with Trump rescinding this, it has created a crisis. And I actually think even though every day it's just terrible that so many people are these dreamers continue to be deported, people that in our communities that we know, who again have known no other country, that they are playing this incredible role, despite that, that's going to end up changing our country. They're not going to go away. I mean, we've seen this. These folks have really formed a fighting force across this country, and they have said, we don't care what happens. We're going to go public at our own risk. We're going to demand these changes. And I think when the Dreamers are done and they've won, the country's going to look different and it's going to look more humane. And we're going to owe them a real debt of thanks for how they've affected the debate. So I think ultimately they're going to win. You know, we're going to win this fight, and the United States is going to reaffirm the kind of country that it is.
We are out of time. Unfortunately, our dynamic guest has been Bill Lipton, the state director and founder of the Working Families Party, WFP. Bill, you were terrific today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure to be on. Thank you, Alan.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gastina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.